Our great Father, we thank you for how you are a faithful God. And we thank you that you are not like us. You are completely faithful and reliable. And as a result, your mercies, your love continue every day. You are a great God. Our words fail to describe how wonderful you are. And we thank you that your faithfulness is toward us, a people who are up and down, hot and cold. You're a faithful God to us. And we're going to be seeing this morning your faithfulness in regard to the great gift of the Spirit. You promised that from long ago in the book of Ezekiel and other places, and it happened just as you said, because of how much you love us and how true and faithful you are. I ask that the things we look at this morning would be of great encouragement to us. Help us to appreciate all that you have done for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do want to begin with a little bit of a story about our time away. As some of you will know, Colin and I, with my parents, went on a lovely holiday up to the top end of Australia, the Northern Territory. And it's a beautiful time of the year. The big wet has occurred. They had a very big wet, second on record. And I just want to reflect on this, that as we went up there, we had the wonderful privilege to go early in the dry season and to see the land still lush after the big wet. It was just phenomenal to see, I don't know how you describe it, the life oozing out of the land from all this abundant rain that fell upon it over the past few months. We saw heaps of wetlands and heaps of green grassland and heaps of bird life, heaps of all sorts of life, fish life, heaps of crocodiles as well. So you had to be careful where you went. The freshies and the big ones as well. We saw lots of wild ones out there. And also it was staggering to see the abundant life in regard to the flowers, from orchids to perennial grasses flowering to eucalypts flowering. And I picked up that the Aboriginals call this time the honey season. And I know why. The land is oozing with life, with berries, with fruit, with all sorts of things. They love this time of the year. And I just want to say to you all, as I thought about these things, I could not help but think of how this is a wonderful picture, a wonderful illustration of the spiritual life that Jesus has given us through the water of life. Do you remember how Jesus used to speak of the Holy Spirit as the water of life? Just as I saw up in the top end of Australia how the physical water had brought forth so much life, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, the water of life, to give us life. I want you to understand that. Jesus came to give us life through the Spirit. We're meant to be abundant and full and overflowing with life because of the water of life, the Holy Spirit. Let me quote some verses to you. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and life to the full," or life abundantly. In John chapter 7, 37 to 39, on the last day of a great Jewish feast, Jesus said these words. Let me read them to you. He said, "If anyone is thirsty," are you thirsty? Dry and barren, we all are without Jesus. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." What is this living water? Well, praise God that in the next verse it tells us, "By this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." This is the great gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of living water that produces in us spiritual life, abundant life. And I want to ask you all this morning, do you know this? Do I know this? Do I know this life that Jesus has given us? This life of abundance, this life of fullness through the Spirit. Yes, and we're not just talking about eternity, like fullness of life in glory, in heaven. We're talking about fullness of life right here, in this fallen world, in this broken world, Jesus was promising fullness of life right here on earth. Something for us to know and experience through the Spirit that he would give after he was glorified. When I think of this fullness of life that Jesus spoke of, I can't help but think about these sort of words, that the Holy Spirit has come to give us a life full of peace and joy. Peace is mentioned in John 14. Joy is mentioned in John 16. He's come to give us a life full of love and hope, a life full of comfort and consolation, a life full of contentment and calmness, a life full of fruitfulness and fulfillment, a life full of purpose and satisfaction. How does that sound to you? This is a life Jesus came to give us. After dying and rising again, he also wanted us to receive the Spirit that we might know this life. And today, it is a special day. I think often this day we don't think so highly of. We think of Christmas, the birth of Jesus. We think of Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. This day should be a big day too. This is the day we call the Day of Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, something amazing happened. The Spirit was given to all those who believe in Jesus. It happened on that great occasion. We read of it in Acts 2. And ever since that day, anyone who receives the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior receives the Spirit. And the church was born. And if we've come to receive Jesus and receive his Spirit, we are also part of his church. This day, the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, in its pristine state, the church has gone way off track at times. But in that first occasion, it was beautiful and perfect. The Spirit came, and it should be a time that we truly rejoice. But I can't help but think of the gift of the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit, how it's so connected to this language that Jesus spoke of about rivers of living water and being filled with abundant life. In fact, even the Apostle Paul picks up on it. In Romans 8, verse 11, he says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." What a verse! The same powerful Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is now in you. That's why we cannot help but think of how when we have the Spirit, we really do have life. Life to the full. He's come to dwell in us. Well, this morning, on this day of Pentecost, on the day the church was born, on the day the Spirit came in power, I want us to consider what Jesus actually taught us about the Spirit based on John 14. Bob's so right. This is a glorious passage of Holy Scripture. I want you to be aware of its setting. Jesus spoke these words hours before he was arrested. Hours before he would be falsely accused and the next day crucified. But he's not worried about himself. He's not troubled and struggling with his own suffering. He's concerned about the struggle and suffering of his own disciples, who he knew would be so hammered and so broken when they saw the Savior put to death. And in this great chapter, Jesus seeks to comfort them. He comforts them with hope, and he comforts them with the most greatest teaching I know of on the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 1 actually captures it. As Bob mentioned, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And then he spoke about his Father's house. There's a room for us there. And he spoke about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who would be given to us who love Jesus. So this morning, let us consider Jesus' teaching on the Spirit. We're only going to be looking at a part of it. There's so much here. The first thing I'd like us to do is to consider the very special Greek word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit. The word is parakletos. It's a very beautiful word. And in our English Bibles, we don't have it, but I'll point out where it is. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, and the Greek word is parakletos. He will give you another parakletos that he may be with you forever. Also, verse 26, and the Greek word is parakletos, but the parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now the word parakletos is a very beautiful picture word. That's the best way I can describe it. A beautiful picture word. It's made up of two Greek words. The first one is para, from which we get the word parallel. And the second part of the word is kletos, which means called. So putting it together, the Holy Spirit is the one who has been called to come alongside us. Isn't that just a wonderful description? God the Father, in his grace and mercy through the Son, has been so good to us to allow his Spirit to come alongside us. Not just alongside us on the outside, as Jesus points out in verse 17, but to abide with you and to be in you. Wow. Yeah, the real wow here. There ought to be a real wow when it comes to Jesus. To think of how Jesus, the Creator, died for us, the creature. To think of him, the righteous one, dying for us, the unrighteous. And here's another wow. What a wow that God should be pleased to allow his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come and dwell with me and with you when we're still sinners, when we are still unrighteous, when we're not worthy to have the Spirit. What an incredible thing that God has been pleased to allow his Spirit to come alongside us and to be in us. Do you understand that? What an amazing thing this is. But this is what God our Father has been pleased to do because he is a God of incredible grace. What a Father. And I love to just point out to you that, I know it's not here, but in other parts of the New Testament, we pick up that the Holy Spirit has not been given to us like in the sense of we've had a sprinkling of the Spirit. The language of the New Testament is that God has poured his Spirit into us. There's a great passage on this, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Titus 3, 4 to 6. But when the kindness of God our Saviour and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of the deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. What a passage! Hallelujah for a great passage like that, that speaks of the heart of our God and what he's done for us in Jesus and how he has poured. You see the language there? Poured the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Now, I've got to refer to our holiday again. We had the joy and privilege after the big wet up in the Northern Territory to see some fantastic, majestic, wonderful, what am I talking about? Waterfalls. Incredible waterfalls. Coming off Arnhem Land, the Stone Country, are these magnificent waterfalls coming down the escarpment called Jim Jim Falls and Twin Falls and Gunlom Falls. Massive waterfalls. Just so full and overflowing. When I saw it, I could not help but think of what a picture that is of our God, who is such a good God. From his fullness, he pours into our life his Spirit and all these other blessings. What a picture it is. We also crossed the border, by the way. And we went to see, couldn't help myself, it was a fair way away to go, but we went to see Lake Argyle. And Lake Argyle, hasn't rained up there for 2 months now, but Lake Argyle is still full. It's 125% full still, and it's got a 2.5 metre wall of water going over the spillway. You can't have access to it very well, so I had to park the car somewhere and go for a long walk, and I saw it. This amazing river coming out of Lake Argyle, because it's so full. And again, what a picture of my God, our God, who is so full, so rich, and he pours into us. We who have received Jesus, he pours into us every blessing, but especially His Spirit. What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting, going back to John 14, the Holy Spirit has been poured into our lives, and He is called the Parakletos, the one who's come alongside. I'm intrigued that in our English Bibles, the translators have sought to interpret the word Parakletos by giving a function to the Holy Spirit to describe His role. I think the Greek is trying to give you a picture of what He's done, though, that He's come alongside you. So what we've got in our English Bibles is more the role of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the translators don't know where to go, because how do you describe the Holy Spirit? In my Bible, He's described, the word Parakletos is translated as helper. And your Bible might have comforter, and others have counselor, and others have advocate. He's all those things. There's not a word we can put down. He's so much. In fact, the best way to describe the Holy Spirit is that He's just like Jesus. He's just like Jesus. In fact, when you look at John 14, 16, that's what you pick up. Jesus says, I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, Parakletos, that He may be with you forever. And in the Greek, very specifically, that word another is not a different kind of other, but the same kind of other. He's just like me. In fact, the word Parakletos is used of Jesus in 1 John chapter 2. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit being poured into our lives, we're talking about the one who's just like Jesus. And you know, when I think about these things, I can't help but pick up on something else that Jesus said. You know, how blessed it is. We might think it's a wonderful blessing. It would have been a wonderful blessing if Jesus was raised from the dead and remained on earth ever since He was raised from the dead. But in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said something different. He says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Parakletos, the Helper, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Why is it to our advantage that Jesus go? I'd rather Him be here. Because He knew something very special. He knew that if He went, then the Father would send through the Son the Spirit, and Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, would no longer, Jesus would not just be on the outside of us. He'd be on the inside. Inside every believer. You see the difference? Jesus knew it was far better for Him to go. I want you to just glory in this wonderful truth that God, in all His grace and mercy, has given us the Parakletos of God. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's come, and He's come so that we might have the life of God in our soul, that we might have fullness of life. What a beautiful picture that God the Father has been pleased to allow the Spirit to come alongside and to come and dwell in us. This is a wonderful thing. This is for the church to rejoice in. But let's now consider some other things that Jesus taught us about the Holy Spirit. So back to John 14, and let's have a look at verses. Let me read verse 16 and the first part of verse 17. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Parakletos, or helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. So Jesus calls Him the Spirit of truth. Also, we have in verse 26 of John 14 these words, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So Jesus teaches us some more about the Holy Spirit. He is a Spirit of truth, and He is the teacher. Jesus says He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And I want to just say, if I could put it this way, I want to put it to you this way, that the Holy Spirit, when I look at these words, is none other than the great preacher of God. He's the one. He's the one who truly preaches and proclaims the truth about God. He proclaims the truth about Jesus, about who He is and what He's done for us. He proclaims the truth about us and the need for our salvation and the judgment to come. This is who the Holy Spirit is. And friends, think about this. Imagine if we did not have the Holy Spirit. Imagine how it would be in our world not to have him. I would guarantee that we would all still be lost. We'd be all completely confused about who God is and how to be right with him and who this Jesus was. It's the Holy Spirit who is the true preacher of God, who has come to teach us the truth. That's another glorious thing about the Holy Spirit. What a world we live in. At the moment, we live in a crazy world, a world of great confusion. How we need the Spirit to speak to us. How we need to be open to him speaking to us. I praise God that he is able to speak to us so easily as we read the Bible, as we read the book that he has inspired. He will teach us. As we walk along the way and listen to the Spirit, he will speak to us and teach us. As we come to church, he will speak to us if the word is faithfully preached. In fact, you know what? He's the true preacher in any true church, not the man standing behind the pulpit, but it's the Spirit who is the preacher truly. All our words are nothing unless the Spirit is speaking. He's the one who is the Spirit of truth. He is the one who is a teacher of all things concerning God and life. What a great blessing it is to have him. He's the one who teaches me about God, that I might glory in him and see him clearly and fall before him in worship. He's the one who helps me see Jesus, that I love him and receive him as my Lord and Savior. It is the Spirit who reveals these things. What a blessing it is to have the Spirit, to have the truth that sets us free, to have the truth that sets us free so that we can live full lives for the glory of God. Do you understand? The Spirit is everything. So we have seen that the Holy Spirit is the Paracletus of God and the preacher of God. He's also something else that Jesus mentions here. He is the presence of God. Through having him given to us, we're not alone. Never alone. And you notice how Jesus points that out in John 14. Let's read 16 to 18. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I love those words. We are not alone. I will not leave you alone, Jesus says. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he's coming to us. You look through those words. He will come to us and be with us forever. He will abide with you and will be in you. Abide meaning their permanent residence. He will come and make his home in you. Jesus teaches us how the Spirit would be given so that we would be never alone. I love that. I love the fact that God will always be with me and will always be with you despite our ups and downs, despite how we feel. Praise God that he has promised for his Spirit to be within us forever. We will never be deserted. We will never be alone, no matter how you feel, no matter what you've done. What a glorious thing. You know what? This is very different to the Old Testament period. In the Old Testament period, the Spirit would be given and taken. The first king, King Saul, had the Holy Spirit and the Spirit was taken from him because of disobedience. But not so now. I think of King David. He was aware of these things after he committed adultery and murder. And as he made his confession to God in Psalm 51, you read it all about it, he prayed this prayer. He says to the God, "Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Why did he pray that? Because it was very real that he could be removed from the presence of God. The Holy Spirit could have been taken from him. What about us now? Do we need to pray anything like that? No! We never have to pray that. Because we live in the days of the new covenant. We live in the days after Jesus died for our sins and rose again. We live in the days of great grace where God has promised that his word is true, that he will never take the Spirit from us. Even when we sin against him, even when we do horrible things, His Spirit will remain. He'll remain with us forever. We will never be on our own. What a God. The presence of God is the Holy Spirit. Jesus even brings this out further in John 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode or our home with him. There it is again. Jesus wants to emphasize that wonderful truth. We will be with you forever. Let us glory in the two great gifts that God has given us. What are the two great gifts that God has given us? I'm not thinking of eternal life yet, or the forgiveness of sins. The two great gifts from which all the other blessings flow is he has given us the gift of his Son, the great gift of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. But there's another gift we can often forget. He's also given the gift of his Spirit, the great gift of the Spirit through the Son, the very Spirit who is the Paracletos of God, the preacher of God, and the presence of God that enables us to live lives full and rich. What a God, so good, so gracious, so giving, gave his Son and gave the Spirit. Now we are never alone. And we're going to sing a song about that now. We're not alone. And just before I pray, we're not alone. Christ is with us, and he's with us by his Spirit. The Spirit that God the Father has poured into our lives. Let me read to you again those great words of Jesus in John 7. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. By this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But he has been glorified now. He died and was raised to life and has ascended to the throne. And now the Spirit has been given. Some 2,000 years ago he first was given, and he still is given to us now if we would open our heart to Jesus. It's everything to have the Spirit. To have the Spirit is to have life. It is to be sealed with the seal of God. It's to be God's child. It's to be an heir of eternal life. To have the Spirit is everything. It is the great gift that comes from the great gift of Jesus giving his life for us. So, Father, we can't help but give you praise and thanks this morning as we think of the awesome things that you have done. What an amazing God you are. We can glory in creation. You know, we see your wonderful glory all around us, but nothing compares, not even creation compares to the great things that you have done. Praise be to you, great things you have done. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for how he came and gave his life for us. We thank you for how he also spoke of the coming of the Spirit for all those who love him. We thank you for how it happened. We thank you on that great day as in tongues of fire, in power, the Holy Spirit came upon those first believers and they could not help but glorify you. And we thank you that even today, any thirsty soul, any lost soul can open their heart to your Son and receive that same Spirit who fills us with life, who fills us with you, who causes us to be born again and to have eternal life. Father, some of us have not even got there yet. We pray that you'd help us to truly be born again and to have the Spirit. And for those of us who have, we can lose our way. We can lose sight of all these things. May we remember and rejoice and glory in the gift of the Spirit. May we know his fullness in our life. May we know that river of living water flowing in us, causing us to live a life that is full of peace and joy, full of fruitfulness and bringing glory to you. This is our prayer. May you awaken your church. May you empower your church through your Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.